Warning, this podcast contains vulgar language, is not safe for listening to at work, or basically any place else. Please proceed listening at your own risk. But really, what the fuck else would you expect from a podcast about snakes on a plane?
And any one of those slimy little pieces of shit can trip a circuit or a relay or hydraulic, and this bird goes down faster than a tie hooker.
Times are strange. We got a free upgrade for snakes on a plane. Fuck 'em, I don't care.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Snakes on a Podcast.
Episode 3.
Yes, we are in the third episode.
The soundtrack came out today.
Yeah, you can pick it up at Circuit City. If you take the Best Buy add-in where it's on sale, go to Circuit City where they give you an additional 10% of the difference.
Because Best Buy's a load of fuckers.
I got the CD for less than $10.
There you go.
After tax.
The CD has a lot of songs on it, and it has some bonus features on the CD. You put it into your personal computer.
Or your work computer. Because, come on, what else are you going to do at work?
You can watch the Snakes on a Plane Bring It video.
Which is a wonderful song.
You can watch a fan-created Snakes on a Plane audition where you have this guy pretending to be Nicholson or Christopher Walken or Joe Pesci or Beaker.
I love the Beaker. I love Beaker.
Well, I'll fight a snake. I don't care.
You want to make a movie out of this?
And there's also two extra songs from the soundtrack that are only available in digital format. They're the sucky songs, but they're a couple of songs.
Now, if you go to Circuit City, you can also get a free Snakes on a Plane little promotional DVD, which includes 11 minutes of behind-the-scenes footage.
We will review those 11 minutes in tomorrow night's show. The soundtrack, I don't know, not the greatest in the world.
Really, they lead off with the best song.
They do. Snakes on a Plane, Bring It, which you heard en toto in the last episode.
Africa Toto, what?
Fuck you. Is the best song on the soundtrack. The other song that I really kind of liked on it is from a group called Fallout Boy, called Of All the Gin Joints in All the World.
I think they know who Fallout Boy is. Everyone knows who they are.
What else have they sung?
I don't know the names of the songs, but I've heard them.
So they don't necessarily know who they are.
I know who they are, but I don't know the names of the songs.
Who are they?
I kind of like them. They're a band.
Okay, well, since I said they sung a song, that was pretty much a fucking given.
I have heard of them. I don't care for them that much. They're okay, but they're not that great. Not great enough to buy a CD.
But this is Snakes on a Plane CD.
Yes. Now, Cobra Starship, we must have a correction. They technically are a one-man band. It is.
Well, it's not like a one-man band in the whole, like, fucking, you know, America's Got Talent, I got my cymbal and my harmonica, psh, psh, kind of band way. I mean,
no, it's I just imagine this poor guy running around with, like, a keyboard and a guitar. No, there's one man in the band. His name is Gabe Saporta. And he's the singer of a band called Midtown. He's the main guy in the video.
But, Marjorie, there's this hot-ass chick in the video.
She's not all that hot.
Well, she's not wearing a bra, so that helps.
Oh.
So
she's probably not wearing underwear either, if that makes you feel any better.
Schwing. I like the Swedes.
Whoa, 1992 reference, huh?
Suck me.
The girl is Maja Iverson, and I don't know about the pronunciation.
Perhaps it's Mahia?
It's M-A-J-A. I don't know my Swedish.
How do you pronounce B-A-J-A?
That's Spanish, not Swedish. That's Baja. Or a mojito, which is M-O-G-A.
I guess it's Swedish. It's Baja.
I don't know. It's the blonde girl in the video.
With no bra on.
Okay. There's no other blonde girl, so you don't need to specify that.
There might have been a background check, but this was the one who almost showed nip.
Okay.
I've watched that video a few times looking closely.
Okay, she's lead singer of a Swedish rock group called The Sounds. That's an original name.
Well, maybe in Swedish it means something deep.
Oh, like the translation, it didn't translate. I got ya. The guy with all the tattoos is...
Hold on, I should say something about Maja. I Wikipedia'd her.
Yeah?
She's bisexual.
Oh.
That's all it really said about her, is she's bisexual and she's lead singer of The Sounds. I'm glad somebody felt so worthy to make a whole Wikipedia entry just so I could find out she's bisexual.
You should go in and enter that she didn't wear a bra.
I should. Now, who are these other people?
The tattooed guy is Travis McCoy from Gym Class Heroes.
Don't know them.
And the other guy is William Beckett from The Academy Is.
He's the one who I said looks like the guy from Boy Meets World. And everybody thought I meant Ben Savage, Fred Savage's little brother. The guy from Boy Meets World I meant was actually the other one who was also in Cabin Fever.
Which guy in Cabin Fever?
The main guy, the one who went down the women's panties and brought up the blood, that
guy. They don't look anything alike!
The guy with the curly hair!
No!
The facial features are very similar.
No! Uh-huh. That guy was in Boy Meets World?
Yeah. That's where I knew him from.
I've never seen that show, so I don't know.
When I was unemployed, it and I became very good friends.
It's Topanga and our big girls, huh?
It was Topanga and the big girls, yeah. She was stacked.
Okay.
Why am I talking so much about tits on this podcast?
I have no
this
idea.
This is supposed to be snakes in a plane, snakes on a podcast, not tits on Arnie's mind.
No.
But maybe it would help if you did a podcast with a shirt on for a change.
I will put a shirt on for the next one.
I mean, every week we sit in here and do a fucking podcast and you're sitting there with your tits hanging out, playing with your nipples. What do you expect me to fucking talk about?
Oh, yes. Anyway. I do not, for the record, by the way. Although I am the only one clothed completely and could walk out of this house right now. Arnie could not walk out of the house right now. He would face arrest.
I would not necessarily face arrest. There's nothing illegal about a banana hammock.
Ridicule?
I would face ridicule, yes, but not arrest.
Parents would be grabbing their children and hauling them indoors. They probably wouldn't like that too much.
Snakes on a plane, not bananas in a hammock, dear. Snakes in my pants.
That would be a snake. If you have snakes, there's a problem. Perhaps we need to see someone about that.
It might bite.
We did that yesterday.
No, yesterday it spit. Today it bites.
Oh, today it bites? Enough with the penis jokes.
Stop talking about tits, then. What about this band?
They're kind of just a super group, but I think if you're going to be classified as a super group, you have to be made up of people from other super groups. But, like, bands that people know that are very famous. Like, if, say, Kiss, Poison, Motley Crue, and Bon Jovi, if they took one from each and made a super group...
In 1988, maybe. I mean, you're bringing Kiss in, perhaps 1984?
Hey, Gene Simmons still thinks he's hot.
And he's the only one.
Okay, if you made a super group of...
You see, here's the thing.
There's no more big groups.
Ever since I bought you an iPod, you're fucking clueless. You don't know who the fuck's hot anymore. You think Johnny Cash is the number one artist right now.
No, I don't.
Name a CD you've bought in the past 3 months that's been released in the past 3 months.
In 3 months? I haven't bought any in the last 3 months.
Except for Johnny Cash.
Well, you bought me that one, though.
Oh, yeah, it was a gift.
Yeah.
It was the only one you mentioned wanting.
I bought Franz Ferdinand.
That was more than 3 months ago. You bought Franz Ferdinand when episode 3 was released on DVD. So, we're out of touch. These could be supergroups. This could be today's Styx.
You bought some Prince CDs yesterday.
This could be today's Nelson.
Wait, no, Nelson was never a supergroup. They just thought they were.
This could be today's Warrant.
They weren't a supergroup. No.
Well, I don't know who these people are, honestly. All I know is they made one fucking good song called Snakes on a Plane.
Bring it.
Bring it. Now, speaking about Snakes on a Plane.
Now, I love this, the next one, the third one.
The third song?
The only difference between martyrdom and suicide is press coverage. I love that.
That's actually the second song. And it's not a bad song. It's by Panic at the Disco. It's not Panic at the Disco, it's Panic at the Disco. There's an exclamation point. Makes all the difference.
Oh, now I interrupted you. What were you saying?
I don't fucking know.
All right.
I think I was talking about Sam Jackson on Letterman last night. That's where I was going with it, anyway.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay.
It was a pretty boring interview.
They
don't like Letterman.
They talked about golf.
Yeah, they talked about golf. I like the fact that a caddy had the balls to tell Sam Jackson that you're not good enough to throw clubs and get angry. There was only really one good moment, and it was a story we'd heard before about Sam Jackson and his agent and the clause in his contract. We'll go ahead and play that clip.
You couldn't, with a gun to my head, you couldn't get me to be in a movie with snakes.
Okay.
Now, do you have a it's a common phobia. People just rather not hang around snakes. I understand them. I admire them. I get a kick out of them. I just don't want to, you know, like
be around them on a daily basis.
My pants.
Well, interestingly enough, you know, we can make this movie. You make this movie, and you really don't have to be around snakes. Even though we had 400 snakes on.
400 snakes.
When we started, we had 400. By the time we finished, there were like 475, maybe 500. So they were procreating while we worked.
So they don't bother you. You like snakes?
Well, yeah, I'm okay with them now. But the point is, when we were shooting, they couldn't have snakes on set with us. Number one, because when I negotiated my contract, my agent just was not having that.
Mm-hmm. So you do have a thing about snakes?
Well, I don't have a thing about them. She does. She told them when we had our first meeting, they were talking about how they wanted to do the shots and shoot over the snakes and go into a close-up, and she's like, no snakes around Sam.
Mm-hmm.
No snakes. And then they said, well, Tony, we need to be at least, all right, 30 feet. 30 feet away. I give you 30 feet. And then they started talking about rattlesnakes and cobras that were going to defang. And she said, no, 25.
Yeah.
25 feet.
Well, she sounds like she must be pretty good.
She's tough. Yeah. No snakes around Sam. That's right. And when we started to shoot, there were so many people on the plane in the initial flight before we started killing them off.
Mm-hmm.
When the snakes come out the first time, people are running and screaming and luggage is falling and stuff. You couldn't have snakes on the floor because we'd kill them.
That's right. That's
and good. Jules needs those snakes to make a living.
Uh-huh.
So Jules
is
the snake handler. You know Jules, the guy from Zimbabwe with all the snakes.
Other than that, pretty much of a lackluster interview. You were telling me that you read somewhere Sam Jackson got confused and...
No. Someone sent me an email, Andrea.
From Canada.
Yes, from Canada. One of my
Canadians
friends,
on a plane?
Canadians on a plane, yes. They're just as dangerous as snakes. She sent me an email.
Does she bite?
I don't know. You'd have to ask Scott.
Okay.
That might be a little too personal. She told me that on Letterman, Sam Jackson had talked to Dave as if Jules Sylvester had been there, when Jules Sylvester is actually on Leno. So here we are geeking out about, you know, snakes on a plane trivia here. So, yeah.
Well, we talked to David Ellis, director extraordinaire of Snakes on a Motherfucking Plane. Now, you know, he has directed...
About four movies?
Final Destination 2.
Oh, that's a good one where the guy...
Isn't that where the people die in the tanning bed?
No, that's the third one.
Wait, don't they also die in a tanning bed in the second one?
No, I think in the second one is where the guy gets cut by the glass that comes down.
Okay.
And the one where the wire slices through the guy and just he's standing there, all of a sudden he just falls apart.
And he did the film Cellular, which looked absolutely comical.
I believe it was a dismal failure.
And of course, you know, but horror, suspense, these are the tools of his trade, which were shown very much in his directorial debut, which was suspenseful as hell, Homeward Bound 2, Lost in San Francisco.
Now I have to tell you something about that movie.
Were you on the edge of your seat wondering if they'd find their way home?
Yeah.
You were?
Okay, this is what happened. So I used to babysit for these two brothers, and they were almost at the age where they're a little bit too old to babysit, and their mom had me watch them just one summer. A few days, she needed some help. So they said, well, let's go see a movie. And they said, Homeward Bound. And I said, no, no, it's an animal movie. And, you know, they're always going to make me cry because somebody always ends up dying or there's somebody evil. And they said, no, no, this is a happy movie. It's fun. It's a comedy. Yeah, so we go. It's not. Okay? It is so sad. And I cried and they thought it was funny.
It is.
Oh. Cruelty to animals is not funny.
Unless they're fucking snakes.
Oh, yeah. Because they deserve to die.
And I hope they burn in hell.
Yes.
I mean, snakes deserve cruelty. They deserve to be crushed by tray tables and sprayed with fire extinguishers and shot.
And hit with seat cushions.
Abso-fucking-lutely. Well, we got a chance to sit down and talk to Jules Sylvester. This
No,
was...
David Ellis!
Yeah, we talked to Jules Sylvester yesterday.
Yes, we did.
We got a chance to sit down and talk to David R. Ellis, and I did a lot of the talking on this one because everybody was in their kind of
post-Jackson slumber. It's kind of like a post-coital thing. All the interviewers were, like, packing up and smoking their cigarettes after Jackson left the table.
I felt bad for him, because, yeah, people were like, yeah, look. Oh, there's Sam Jackson over there. Oh, yeah, we're listening to you, David.
It really was, because we did Jackson, and then we did David. I've never done four guys in one room before.
It was interesting.
But, yeah, after Jackson left, all the reporters kind of got in a funk, and I was the only one who gave a shit, and my nervousness was gone. I just talked to Sam Jackson, and I made an ass of myself, because I asked him the wrong question, which we'll talk about tomorrow night.
Because you weren't paying attention.
I wasn't. I was just so awestruck. But, you know, because we're showmen, we build up to our biggest star, so you guys have to wait to hear Jackson last.
But I think Jules Sylvester's the biggest star.
You think fucking Keenan is the biggest star.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I wasn't the only one.
Well, he was the biggest star in Girth.
Yeah, but you told someone else that we know that you interviewed Sam Jackson, and she was more excited about Keenan.
Yeah. I don't know. Apparently there's a lot of Keenan folk out there.
See?
I wonder if Keenan's going to be back with all the staff cuts at SNL.
I don't know. It's the whole Good Burger thing.
So let's listen to what David R. Ellis has to say about snakes on a motherfucking plane.
What's up?
So we just
doing good.
We just heard from Samuel Jackson here. Can you tell us a little bit about working with him and what that was like?
It's
you and this actor.
No.
How do you spell that?
S-U-C-K-S.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Sam's very, very difficult to work with. He's very temperamental. No, working with Sam is awesome. I've worked with Sam as a second unit director on four films prior to this on Patriot Games, Clear and Patriot Games, Sphere, Deep Blue Sea, and Negotiator. So I already knew Sam, and we had a relationship. And he's awesome to work with. I mean, it's obvious. You know, I mean, he never gets any kind of bad press. People love working with him. He works all the time. He's very generous to the crew. Comes totally prepared. And he's a dream. I'd do every film if I could with Sam.
Like the t-shirt.
Hey, thanks, man.
It's very nice.
I made these.
So official New Line stuff, or is this fan?
No, this is official David Ellis.
David Ellis stuff.
Yeah.
So you were up last night pressing the t-shirt.
No, I have somebody, I just designed it.
Yeah,
did you see the back?
No, absolutely.
Oh, it's cool.
Oh, man.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, good. No, officially, we're going to knock you up and steal that.
Sure. Okay, that's cool.
So you worked on a lot of really big action movies in your career. I mean, just amazing films. And, I mean, what is it like when you finally get a chance to just get that camera and say, okay, I'm going to do everything I want to do now and, you know, take all those experiences that you've had over the years and just say, I'm in control?
It's awesome. I mean, it's still a collaboration with everybody on scene, with your visual effects supervisor, your stars, your stunt coordinator, your second unit director, but it's not that I love the power that gives you, it's I just love to shoot. I still love shooting second units, you know, I love doing all that kind of stuff, so it's awesome.
Yeah.
Logistically, what's it like to work with somebody putting together a set where all of these snakes have to come out of compartments and you have to keep track of them?
Well, that's up to the snake handler. You know, it's up to him to know how many snakes he has on the set and where they're going to go and to make sure he retrieves them all. And, you know, which they did a great job.
Because in Raiders of the Lost Ark, you know, obviously there's that famous scene with Harrison Ford, you know, hundreds of snakes. Mm-hmm. And it's a classic moment, you know, with the cobra, and the cobra's in a glass box. You can actually see the glass reflected. So we did nothing like that this time. I mean, in terms of having snakes interact with real actors.
Our snakes were all over the place.
Yeah.
And we had them all over the real actors, the extras, the stunt people, everybody.
Is that tricky to deal with in terms of continuity? I mean, if they're moving around and...
No, that's up to the script supervisor to keep track of, and also Jules would keep track of what snake he had that was interacting with a certain person.
Mm-hmm. Was there anyone freaking out?
A lot of them freaked out.
Which is good, I can't control myself.
Which is good for their performance, you know?
So that's good. Keep going.
That was cool, you know?
I'm dying. I'm dying. Keep going. There'll be a weird job to do. Like, be afraid of the snake, and no, really, me.
Yeah. No, they did. They definitely were. There was a lot of people that weren't really comfortable with the snakes, and so that just helped in how they did their performance.
How's the directing amongst this kind of chaos with all the snakes and everything? How controlled was the environment?
The environment was really controlled. You know, and that's part of my job, is just control, you know, the stunt people and the actors and where the snakes go and how people interact with them. And we had turbulence in the plane, and it's just part of doing your homework and being prepared.
So what do you have today for the Comic-Con?
Today for Comic-Con, we have a 10-minute clip that nobody's ever seen before. Some totally new footage, nothing that's been in the teaser trailers that we've had out so far. And then we'll have Sam, and he brought some snakes and stuff like that.
Expecting a big reaction?
I hope so.
Yeah.
It's good.
Did you ever expect this big of a reaction from fans?
Never. I mean, it's awesome what's happened with the internet and stuff. And it's thanks to all the people with their blogs and stuff like that that helped us promote this movie.
So what did you actually change while you're shooting because of that reaction?
We changed some of it. Well, we actually were following what they were talking about, but when we were able to take it from a PG-13 to an R-rated film, which is what I wanted to do initially, then we could add more language, more nudity, more graphic violence, and more Sam talking like he talks.
Did you shoot a lot of that might go onto a director's cut of a DVD when it comes out?
It's all in the movie.
Oh, it is?
Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. So when you're doing the film, how much of the action with the snakes will be CGI and how much of it will be real?
It's like 50-50 because a lot of snakes get killed, obviously, because Sam's saving the plane. So we couldn't kill real snakes. So those had to be CG snakes. And then we have a lot of real snakes all over the place.
Do you like doing like these really taut thrillers? Like, you know, this is probably your third thriller movie in a row. It seems like you've got a good handle on that. Is that, do you think like I'm gonna just stick to that because it's what I love best, or do you have ideas?
I don't know if it's, I had never done one. I mean, when I did Homeward Bound 2, that was so much different than doing Final Destination
right.
2.
Yeah.
So it was like, and I'd never done a horror film, wasn't a big horror fan, but I took a stab at it and it did okay. And then Cellular, which was a thriller, kind of worked out all right. And this, I think, is our best project so far. I'd love to do a comedy, though.
Really?
Yeah, I think that'd be cool. I mean, it's just so, it would be so much fun to go to work every day and just be cracking up all the time. Because, like, the guys we had on the set, you know, in between shots, were cracking up all the time. With Keenan and Sam and Flex and all these guys. David Koechner, all those guys are really, really funny guys. So we had a lot of fun in between shots. It would be fun to capture in a film.
Well, Sam was mentioning that you had the idea of maybe shooting an actual spoof at the same time.
I did. I wanted to shoot the spoof the same time we did the film, but you know, use the same script, the same cast.
Yeah.
But New Line just didn't get it.
Because of the suits.
Is there an excuse that it'll undermine the film, the actual film? Or?
I said, let's shoot it and release it as a two-box DVD, you know, as an extra feature, you know, which is the spoof of the movie. So you don't have to, you don't even have to make people aware of it. I'm sure it'd get out there, but still, release the film as a serious film, blah, 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 and then come out later with it.
Because anyway, it's inevitable. Like, I don't know, Scary Movie 5 or 6 will have spoof on Sex and the
City. They're making a film right now. They're spoofing it already.
Oh, well,
oh
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's quick.
Yeah. My other daughter, Cheyenne, is working as a stunt girl on this film. And yesterday was The Queen of Narnia, and they're spoofing that. Mm-hmm. And then they've got a spoof for Snakes on the Plane, too.
What's the movie called?
I forget what it's called.
With
Scary Wolf?
With Hollywood Studios usually telling horror films to scale back the gore, scale back the violence, how do you feel being told, ramp it up, make it
bad? It's awesome. I mean, we do stuff that's just not right in this film.
In terms of gore, snake bites?
Yeah. Both.
I saw the cover of Fangoria was a guy with a face all...
Yeah, but that's nothing.
It's nothing?
No, that's good to know.
Yeah, we've been wondering how much of a horror film this is, or if it's considered more a thriller.
Well, what I'm saying is like, the after effect of somebody getting bit and all swelled up, that's great.
Right.
But we have snake attacks in places on your body that you would not want it to happen.
All right.
To be the tagline of the snake movie.
That's a great tagline.
Yeah. There's some radical stuff going on.
I know my girlfriend
would. people are going to be in shock that we even did it.
Excellent.
To tell you the truth. And all I can say is it's never been done before.
Jesus. Wow. My girlfriend, she loves Sam Jackson, but she told me she would never see this movie. Never, ever.
Oh, you should take her to her. Make her see it. She'll be in your lap the whole time.
I'll try.
Trick her. Tell her it's Homeward Bound 3.
Yeah. Yeah, but
don't tell her what she sees. It's a little love story.
It's in Love Actually now. Love is actually a snake.
Yeah.
What's easy? Is directing the action part of this movie the easiest thing for you, given the background?
Yeah.
And I guess once the snakes are unleashed, it's like just one big set of these. It's relentless. Just
it takes... There's two big action scenes in the beginning of the movie, and then it takes... It's like 15 minutes in, and then the snakes come.
And then
from then it's just... Chaos.
How long is the movie? Like 1.5 hours?
1:39.
Nice.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. Tight.
Perfect. So Brian Sonnenfeld said no movie should be over 90 minutes long.
Yeah, it's a perfect running time for a film, you know. 1:30, 1:40. You know, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw Pirates, but a lot of people liked it, but they complained. Everybody that I've heard has complained it was just
this day and age, all these movies are so long.
There's one plot point that I could just erase.
2.5 hours
I would miss it.
You know, to keep people in their seats and keep them entertained. Johnny Depp is awesome, you know, it's still a long time.
Do you think that's just a director being extravagant when they do that? Do you think it's just not willing to cut stuff and just being like, I want to do everything?
I'm not sure what he was thinking.
Yeah.
It made money and it did good, so bless, you know, they should be thankful. Hopefully the next one will be great too.
Yeah.
Would the studio ask you to cut a PG-13 version for DVDs?
I don't think so. I don't think you can do it. You wouldn't do justice to this film. You know, it is what it is.
Are we going to see a blooper reel?
Today?
No. I mean, on the DVD.
Yeah, on the DVD we have a gag reel. It's pretty funny.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you let them improv a lot? We were asking Keenan and we were asking Sam. As far as you said you want to work with comedy, did you let them kind of run with that?
Absolutely. And there was times, there's some scenes, some really great scenes between Sam and Keenan and then Rachel Blanchford and Flex Alexander and David Koechner, where I just wouldn't say cut. And so then they'd sit there and they'd get what I was doing and then they'd start just going off. And a lot of that's on the DVD.
The one thing I wanted about the snakes is you got like 500, roughly. Is it difficult to give these snakes some personality, or you know, to make them scary and make people already? Do they have a sense of personality?
I think they all...
Different snakes act in different ways, perhaps?
They all do different things. I mean, you have snakes that are this big that can kill you in 20 seconds. And you have snakes 30 feet long that are going to take their time because they're going to squeeze you to death first.
I love this, take their time.
And get you in kind of a pulpy mess so they can then swallow. So, you know, there's all different kinds and they each have their own thing. You don't get to go hang out with them and learn their backstory.
What's the motivation of this thing?
Yeah. What are you really thinking about?
It's come to feedback.
Villain, you know, big bad villain snake. Is it the rock
thing? Yeah. Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of big bad villain snakes. There's one named Hannibal too.
What were your feelings towards snakes while going into this? I mean, obviously nobody likes snakes.
I was not crazy about snakes. My son's got one. Against my will, actually. We were at the beach one day, and he went to the pet store and bought a terrarium, a snake, a mice cage, and mice. And we come back, and he goes, can you keep a secret? He takes me in the room and shows me this. I go, are you freaking kidding me? Your mom's going to kill you. And so we told his mom, he was 16 at the time, we took him, made him take it back, he was crying and everything, and then he protested for 2 days with signs, saying snakes are people too, and all this shit, and so we let him keep the snake. So we've got a snake.
Did a snake get a cameo in the movie?
No, because it was in Canada, wrong union.
did he visit you on the set?
No, he didn't. He said, because my son, when we were making the film, my son was going to Irvine. Yeah, we have a snake.
Being that the fans were so supportive of this over the internet, and there's, you know, all the interaction, what's your whole take on Moonline saying that they're not going to do any promo screening as a director?
That was my choice, to tell you the truth. And I'll tell you the reason for it. And it's pissing people off, but the reason for it was that this is a fan's movie. The fans have worked so hard to promote this movie. They've done all the countless hours making posters and videos and songs and comics and merchandise. And they created the buzz that we're so fortunate to have. And so I asked not to have... I'm not afraid of the movie, and I'll show the movie to anybody. We're almost done. But I asked them not to do preview screenings, because you'll get somebody that it's not their kind of movie come to a preview screening in Pasadena and want to be a bigwig on Any Cool News by saying that they've got an inside scoop and the movie sucks. And then the same, and then with the press, I love the press, but at the same time I felt it was only right to give it to everybody at once, because the fans have created this buzz that's attracted so much media to the project and everything else that I said, why don't we just give it to the press, can have it, and they can say whatever, I don't care what they say, but I know that we're going to turn around a lot of those people that are saying it's the best, worst movie of the year into saying that this movie actually rocks. So that was the decision behind it, and there's a lot of pressure to piss about it, but I hope that they just hang in there for a couple weeks and that they dig it when they see it.
Had you thought about maybe doing a preview screening for the people who had promoted it so heavily on the internet, finding out who was running the fan sites and something like that?
Yeah, I think they're doing it, but they're going to do that, but they're going to do it on Thursday night.
At 10 o'clock.
We're having special screenings throughout the United States for press and fans that are going to get kind of like mini parties that are going to get it to see it 2 hours ahead of the regular people. So we are doing that. But it's all going to be tied into, while we're having the premiere, we're having the special thanks screenings for media and internet people, and then by the time we get out of the premiere and we're in the party, they've already started watching it in New York. And then the next day, they bring it on. You know, it's going to be what it is.
What do you expect? Do you have any expectations for the weekend?
Money-wise?
Yeah.
No, I don't care about the money. I just hope they enjoy it.
As long as it's cute, we'll be happy.
Yeah, it'd be good.
People scream when they come
out. How about a sequel? Any snakes on a train?
Snakes on a submarine.
Snakes on a submarine.
Snakes on an Amish farm. Yeah. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thanks a lot.
Good to see you, Chris.
Nice to meet you.
Awesome. You too. Thanks, guys. See you later. Good luck. Take care.
See you later.
See you later.
Thank you very much.
I wonder if anybody other than the people who listen to our Star Wars podcast are listening to this.
Probably not.
No.
We haven't gotten much publicity. I've submitted us to iTunes, and I submitted us to Podcast Alley. They're fucking slow.
Do Podcast Pickle.
Why don't you submit us to Podcast Pickle?
I will do that.
Because, I mean, we're talking about snakes on a motherfucking plane.
Yeah, we are.
We need an audience.
We do.
Well, we will be back tomorrow to talk more about snakes on a fucking plane.
Tomorrow will be the last night before the movie premiere. What was that?
I don't fucking know.
I'd cut that out. You sound like Woody the Woodpecker.
Alright. Talk to you later. I don't really have to know, because I do have to go. You see, I understand that it's all in the plan, but just pass you know, I can always edit. You don't have to put your hand over the mic and then whisper. The fuck? Do you think this is radio?
I think you got snakes on your internet.
I want these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking podcast!